Welcome to First Presbyterian Church of Evanston. This Sunday's sermon was given by guest speaker Dr. John Ung. If you'd like more information about First Presbyterian Church of Evanston, please visit firstpresevanston.org.
Our scripture reading today is from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, in the New Testament section of our Red Pew Bibles, beginning on page 1. Please join me for a prayer for illumination. O Lord, our God, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Give us grace to receive your truth in faith and love, that we may be obedient to your will and live always for your glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Matthew 2, verse 1. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we have observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
What a delight it is to be here at First Pressed Evanston. It's so good to be home. I consider this my home church in the U.S. Whenever I come, I have to pass by Chicago and Evanston particularly. For those of you who do not know, I studied at Northwestern University in coming here in 1989, and in December of 1989. And I remember that day very precisely because the day I arrived from humid and hot Singapore, the temperature was minus 50 degrees with wind chill. I never knew what it was to be cold. And then a week later, the temperature went down to minus 80, the coldest day of the century in 1989. So I will never forget the welcome I get from Chicago. And so the weather today is very warm for me. Thank you so much. And I want to thank Pastors Ray and Henry for inviting us, for allowing me to come and share with you the final Sunday of the year. But I've got a terrible topic to cover about King Herod, poisoned by fear. What a way to end the year. But maybe what a way to start the next year. And all of us are filled with fear. Let me see whether this works. You know, different experiences come to us, and many of us come with different responses to these experiences. For the shepherds, the Magi, and Joseph, and Mary, when Jesus was born, it was full of joy. But for King Herod, it was deep turmoil, as the scripture writes, and deep fear. I remembered when I first came to Evanston, and I had to register my daughter at the time, who was 1.5 years old, Macy, and she was accepted by the School of Little Children, and Martha Anson at that time, who was the principal. And I was so delighted that a tiny little Chinese young girl will be accepted by the School of Little Children. However, things start to happen. For 2 weeks, she couldn't stop crying. And for the first time, I began to understand what is separation anxiety. I never knew what was separation anxiety. And so for 2 weeks, she cried and cried. And every night we would pray that God will stop her from crying, because she just couldn't leave us, and she was in a very completely different environment. And then Martha, I remember that morning, the second week, he said, "Allison, John, would you come and see me?" I said, "Sure." And she told us this. He said, "I'm going to give Macy one more chance. If she didn't stop crying, I'm sorry, she has to be back home with you guys, because, you know, it was too much of a pain and anxiety. She didn't want to go through the trauma. She didn't want to impose a trauma into her, this little girl." I tell you, that was great fear. Can you imagine a 1.5-year-old daughter being kicked out of school? Can you imagine what it will do to Asian Chinese parents like us? It would be such an embarrassment to tell when we go back to Singapore to my friends, "What happened to Macy? She was kicked out of school." And we had deep, great fear. Truly, we prayed. And miraculously, the next day she stopped crying. And she enjoyed the best School for Little Children education ever. And she had just a wonderful time. And the good news is that after that, now she's studying at the University of Washington, doing PhD in education science. What an irony. And I thank God for First Press, the people who have embraced us, who loved us. And sometimes in our deepest fear, we need the grace of God, don't we? We need the grace of God's people to come around us to help us overcome our fear. You know, some of us think of the raging seas as a point of fear. I don't know. I'm one person who's afraid of the waters, especially in the deep sea. And even when I go snorkeling in East Malaysia, I would just cover the surface, and after 5 minutes, I feel like a shark is coming after me. I'll get out, right? But to some people, the sea, it's a surfer's paradise. The same sea can bring joy or sorrow or deep fear or peace. I remembered drowning accidents. I'm sure if you look at this picture and say, "Wow, what a great picture of a beautiful golden retriever," I can tell you, I have the greatest fear of dogs. I can never understand why people love dogs. Because at the age of 12, I was running along my neighborhood, and this crazy Alsatian came and bit me, and even as I tell you the story right now, I can still feel the pain and the blood that was oozing out from a 12-year-old boy. I was sent to the hospital. I was given an injection to prevent it from getting worse. There was great fear. And for a long, long time, I could never understand why people could love dogs. In fact, I hated dogs. In fact, I hated dog lovers. I could never make friends with dog lovers. I could never understand, how can you love animals that bite you, right? The same experience can bring both joy and sorrow, peace or fear. And so this is what we see. Oops. Looks like it doesn't want to go away. So fears are real. Fears are real because sometimes we are afraid a loss of status, loss of financial security, especially we come to this new year, loss of health. You know, I never knew what it was to be unhealthy when I first came to the US. You know, I was about in my 30s, but now I won't tell you how old I am, but you don't walk so fast. You get all kinds of aches all over the bodies. And then you know that every day is nearer to the day of death. The loss of relationships. Some of us fear the loss of relationships. Or the loss of our loved ones. We see, right now, I have a friend who had, in the last stage of his life, suffering from cancer, spreading all over. He has only a few more days to live. Loss of loved one. There are lots of real fears in our midst. So the birth of Jesus brought joy to Mary, shepherd, the Magi, but fear to King Herod. So when King Herod, we read, heard the news, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. Can you imagine? Why was King Herod so fearful? First of all, fear can create panic in our life. Fear can create panic. The word disturb really in Greek means deep turmoil. He was completely upset. He was very angry. And most of all, he was fearful because there was going to be born the King of the Jews. And he was the king. He was afraid that his whole position was threatened. He was afraid because his position was threatened, his power was threatened, and he was in great danger. Why was King Herod so afraid? You see, King Herod was a despot and a tyrant. He was half Jew and a half Edomian, and then he was supposed to be quite a great leader because he built public works, and he was politically very savvy to both the Romans and the Jews. But he was a hated ruler because he imposed high taxes, he conscripted the Jews, and his reign was a reign of terror because every day there would be a killing. He murdered two brothers-in-law, one of his wives, Marian, and his two sons. And in fact, he decreed that on the day that he was of the day of his death, he wanted everybody to mourn for him. That's what he decreed. And then he was no surprise, therefore he could kill all the children under 2 years old because his whole life was threatened. You see, Lord Anston said, power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely. But Aung San Suu Kyi is more accurate when he says it is the fear of losing power and absolute power that corrupts. Fear plus insecurity is a deadly combination. Because it creates panic, it creates paranoia, it creates pandemonium. And so that's the second thing we see. And panic strikes and grips us, we will be moved into deep anxiety. And maybe some of us are going through this right now. You're worried. You're worried about things that you're losing. Your fear is real. You're concerned about your health. You're concerned about the children, that how are they going to survive? These are all real fear. You see, our fears really reveal what we care most about in our life. Secondly, fear can be camouflaged by piety. Fear can be camouflaged by piety. We read, Then Herod called the Magi secretly to find out the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I can go and worship him." You know, our fears, we can camouflage our fear by piety. We can even hide our fears from our loved closest ones. We pretend everything is all right. We can even sing songs. We can even sing hymns. We can even tell wonderful stories of God. But deep inside us, I fear. And we can even use God's name in vain. We try to hide our feelings, but very often, our eyes tell the true story and speak more loudly. We camouflage our fears, even using religious language. I can't help but think of the Australian Royal Commission on Child Sexual Abuse. The report just came out just 2 weeks ago in Australia. And this is what they found. The 3,489 institutions were involved. They called 8,000 witnesses in private sessions. And the victim's average age was 10.4. And look at this, 61.4% belong to the Catholic institutions, 14.8% from Anglicans, 7.2% from Salvation Army, and the rest from other denominations. 93.8% of the were abused by a male, 63.6% of survivors were male, 83.8% were abused by adults. The average duration of the abuse was 2.2 years. And sometimes we wonder, out of deep fear, you can hide under the institution of religion. No wonder today there are so many who are so angry with religious institutions. And 36.3% were abused by multiple perpetrators. And this is what the conclusion of the Royal Commission of Inquiry found. He said, in many religious institutions, the power afforded to people in religious ministry and the misplaced trust of parents combined with aspects of the institutional culture, practices and attitudes create risk for children. It is a culture. What is this culture they found? It is really the culture of fear. The fear of being found out. The fear of being embarrassed. The fear of shame. And so there's a lot of hiding. And the fear of punishment. And the fear of losing power and authority. You see, we can do a lot of things in the name of fear, in the name of religious piety. Thirdly, fear can cause pandemonium. When Herod heard this, he was outwitted. By the way, it was over 2 years when the news got to him. And then he was so outraged that he sent out his armies to kill 2-year-old innocent babies in Bethlehem. You see, fear plus insecurity is a deadly combination. It creates paranoia, false piety, pandemonium. So my conclusion is this. Fear can be very poisonous. Fear can drive us to do many things, even in the name of God. But the wonderful good news for us as we move into the new year is that fear can be enveloped by grace. You see, fear has two responses. You can face everything and run, or face everything and rise. It depends on who you turn to in your fear. Fear can be conquered by His grace and by the grace of loved one. You see, the irony about King Herod is this. Although he was a Jew, he never knew God. He even had to consult the religious leaders as to where the Messiah was going to be born. He even could use the name of the Messiah, but he never knew that Messiah who was going to save him. He could use the name, but he never came to him. And the irony was that to Herod, religion was merely political, philosophical, and cultural, but never a relationship. I like what Richard Haverson, who was a chaplain to the Congress at one time, and he writes this. Christianity began in Palestine and was a relationship with a person. It went to great in Greek, it became a philosophy. It went to Rome, to the Roman, it became an institution. It went to the British, it became a culture. It went to America, it became an enterprise. And so for us to understand Christianity, we must go back to the fundamental that Christianity is a relationship with God. The king had tried to kill the only king who could save him from his fear, only if he knew who Jesus truly was. And so, as we enter into the new year, we must find that in Jesus, you will find Him to be the true peace that so easily eludes us in times of volatile turmoil. In Jesus, you will find Him to be the love that you and I so desperately need in times of deep hatred. In Jesus, you will find Him to be the joy that you and I so earnestly pine for in times of inconsolable sorrows. In Jesus, you'll find Him to be the way that you so strongly long for in times of uncertain lostness. In Jesus, you'll find Him to be the Emmanuel, God with us, that you so intensely desire in times of unquenchable loneliness. In Jesus, you will find Him to be the Savior you so urgently seek release from in times of gripping evil. In Jesus, you'll find Him to be the Messiah that you so hopefully wish to be freed from in times of poisonous fear. Allow me to close with this story. Moritz Retz wrote the novel The Game of Life, and he got this whole story about how Satan outwitted and checkmated this young man, and this beautiful painting was drawn. And he had entitled this painting Checkmate because it was a chess game between the devil and the young man, and the young man was completely checkmated by the devil in this. Two young British scholars went into the museum to look at this painting. One of them left halfway, about half an hour later, but this other person, who was a chess player, kept staring at this painting. And he told his friend, come and see. And he told his friend, said, look, we either have to change the drawing of the painting or we have to change the name. Because, he said, the king has one more move. And when the king moved, the devil is checkmated. So my friend, my friend, the King has one more move in your life. As we face whatever fear you have in this past year, in the coming year, only Jesus can turn a mess into a message, a test into a testimony, a trial into a triumph, a victim into a victor. Praise be to God. The King, our King, Jesus, has one more move in our life. Let's pray together. Let's pray. I do not know what fears you have as you enter this new year. I do not know what anxieties you may have as you look around what's happening in our world, the political divide, the unabated terrorism, the business failures across the countries, the pain of the loss of loved ones, the uncertainties of the future. Let's turn to Jesus, because He is the only one who can bring grace and God's grace into our life. And you can be a grace to somebody else at this time, because the King has one more move. Father, we thank you. We thank you that we do not have to be gripped by fear. We thank you that in your grace, and by your grace, and through your grace, that we can find peace, joy, love, and faith. So help us, Lord, as we move into the new year. As we move into the new year, may we find you to be real in the midst of all our fears, because the King has one more move in our lives. We thank you, we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.